So we're only a few weeks away from Christmas, and hopefully this year will be a more normal one than last year. But what does a normal Christmas look like? What does it feel like? What characterises Christmas in our lives? Well, the world thinks of Christmas as a time for celebrating, spending time with family, giving and receiving presents, eating and drinking too much, and generally letting our hair down. And I have to say that I love Christmas. I love the Christmas music, I love the decorations, the typical Christmas feel, and the snow, which is quite handy living in the mountains. The ambiance and atmosphere created at Christmas gives it a special feel, and this is something that is enhanced by the theme of today's message, light. We think of the beautiful Christmas lights on the Christmas tree, in the towns, the villages that we live in, and it just gives us that Christmas feeling. Now, getting back to Christmas, maybe God knows how much I love Christmas, or maybe I love it even more because of this, but Kate, my wife, and I got the best Christmas present ever as our son, Ben, was born on Christmas Day, so that makes it even more special. And when I think of how special the gift of Ben was to us on Christmas Day 2015, I can perhaps get a glimpse of what the gift of Jesus is to us as mankind. And yet, as Christians, we know that there is so much more to Christmas, but perhaps sometimes we get caught up too much in the sentiment of it and don't fully comprehend the full depth of meaning of what it is that Christ came to dwell with us because of Christmas. And so we're going to look into that a bit more today. It's so easy to be a little bit blasé about the meaning of Christmas. So as we prepare to begin Advent, I thought it would be a great opportunity to focus on one aspect that we can be really excited about with regards to Christmas. So we see that today's passage in John has got John talking about Jesus as being light. And this is going to be the focus of today's talk. So, what is so special about light? Well, essentially the earth cannot exist without it. When we think of the natural world, we see that it depends completely on light. We think of plants that open up their leaves in the morning to let light in so that they can photosynthesize and get the energy they need to grow. This would not happen without light. There would be no life without light. We feel the warmth from the light of the sun as it rises every day, and we know that this is what makes the planet habitable for us and all the creatures that dwell here. Light is essential for life. And of course, by referring to Jesus as the light, God is taking something very obvious, that light produces life, and saying that through Jesus it is the same. It is only through him that everything comes into being. If there was not Jesus, just like if there was not light, we wouldn't be able to live. So John is saying we need Jesus to have life, and he refers famously in this passage to the first few verses of the Bible when God says, "Let there be light." And so as we look back at the passage from Genesis 1, which reads, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness." And from this passage, we can notice three things. We can notice that light comes through the Word. This is unique in Genesis, as it is with the uttering of the Word that light comes into being. This shows the power of the Word of God and the significance of the Word of God, and also the relationship between the Word and light. And of course, we know that Jesus is the Word of God. And so we can see that it was Jesus who originally brought light into the world in this Genesis story. And of course, we see that it's not just Jesus, God, but it's the Trinity that's at work right there in the beginning. God created the light through the Word, and the Spirit was also hovering over the waters. The whole Godhead is caught up in creation all those years ago, and yet the Word becoming flesh is the ultimate fulfillment of God's creation design. We see that the purpose of Christmas is so that God can enact his plan of salvation for all mankind that was planned out from the beginning of time. God knew that to fully demonstrate his love for us, he'd have to humble himself to be born in a grotty old stable so that he could provide a way out for us sinners. And what a reason to rejoice that is this Christmas. And we see again in this passage that it is this light that has to precede everything else. It's the same with Jesus, that he comes before all other things. Without light, there is just darkness and death. And this is the first point that John emphasizes to us. We need Jesus for for life. The second point that John makes is another obvious one, that light overcomes darkness. Light and darkness is not a fair fight. Light never loses in a battle with darkness. And now, unfortunately, that's not always the case with many things that are opposites. Love doesn't always beat hatred. Peace doesn't always prevail against violence. But by definition, light always overcomes darkness, because darkness is defined as the absence of light. Light doesn't need to be big and strong and shout at the darkness. Simply by being there, light banishes darkness. Darkness is not a thing. It is the absence of a thing, and spiritual darkness is like that too. Evil, sin, they're not really things in themselves. They're just the absence of Jesus. Evil is just the absence of goodness. We can think of it like a hole in the sock. A hole in itself is not made up of anything. But when there is nothing there, where there should be a sock, there is a problem. Evil is in many ways like that. It is simply the absence of something that should be there. And this matters. Because when something or someone which is full of light enters a place, it doesn't matter how much darkness there is. If the darkness is particularly strong or dark, the light always wins. Light, just by being there, banishes darkness. We see this in John's Gospel. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. Because, of course, it can't. Now that Jesus has come into the world, there is no scope for anyone to continue living in darkness. We can't carry on acting as if Jesus was not here. By being himself, he has brought light into dark places and made it impossible for us to go back to a world of simply darkness. When John says that the true light came into the world, he is saying that there is now no turning back. This is a great message for us, for our world where we often see dark times, where we see darkness seemingly prevail. The early church never said, "Look what the world is coming to," but rather said, "Look what has come into the world." And this is a great way to look at things, as there is now no turning back because the light has come into the world. So, we know that light brings life, and light overcomes darkness. And finally, light makes visible things that you couldn't see before. Think of a sneeze when it snows overnight. And I can definitely think of myself peering out of the window, trying to check how heavy the snowfall is, how many centimetres have fallen. But because it's night time, I can't really properly gauge what it's like. And then I wake up in the morning like a kid on Christmas morning, excited, and I open the shutters, and there is all the lovely powder to go and play. It's not that it wasn't there the night before, or perhaps there wasn't as much of it, but because of the light, I am able to see the beauty for what it truly is. And John, of course, is saying that Jesus does that, and Jesus' dad does that for God. Jesus comes, and as he literally embodies God, he presents us with not just a picture, but a physical person, flesh, to make us know what God has always been like, even though we weren't able to see him. God has always been there. The beauty of the vista of the glorious majesty of God has always been there, and yet it is fully revealed in Christ. When we read of Jesus crying at funerals and turning water into wine at weddings, we're not seeing something new in the character of God, but rather God is revealing his character to us in a way that we can more fully understand. God always has the character that we see in Jesus, and yet in coming as a person, as a baby born in Bethlehem all those years ago, we can truly see what it means to be God in our broken world. We can see that God's will is to always care for the downtrodden, the brokenhearted, the unloved, those who don't fit in, those who are rejected by society. God's character has been always to go the extra mile for the individual, to bring healing and wholeness in each and every situation, and yet we can see so much more clearly the outworking of this in the actions of Jesus. He's someone that we can relate to. He's someone that we can just see how God acts as a human. And we can take that and we can go and do the same. In the Old Testament, we get a glimpse through the prophets and biblical heroes of how God wants to relate to his people. And yet in Jesus, we see this being fully worked out. John says in John 1:18 that no one has ever seen God, and that is obviously God the Father, but that the only God who is at the Father's side, Jesus, has made him known. Jesus makes visible that which was previously invisible, the person of God the Father. Now, the Trinity is a tricky thing to understand. In John 1, we are given two powerful images that help us understand it better. In John 1, Jesus is described as the light, but also the Word of God, indicating that these represent what we can see and what we can hear. When we put these things together, we get an idea of what Jesus is. He isn't just the Word. Israel had the Word of God. They knew what God said, but Jesus is also the light. In physical form, we can see what God looks like and what God sounds like. And this is such a good representation of what God the Father is like, that it's like looking at God the Father himself. Because Jesus is such a perfect image of the invisible God, we can be so sure that we can really know what God is like. It's like thinking of what communication was like before video calling. We could phone people in different countries, or we could look at pictures of them. But when we make a video call to someone, it's as if we are there with them. It's a much more satisfying and much more real way of knowing people than the other two methods are. And how grateful I'm sure we all were for this ability to come so close to our families and friends, so far away during the pandemic, and really get a sense of being able to really know people so much better than if we just had a picture of them, or if we could just hear them. And yet, of course, we know that we weren't actually talking face to face with our loved ones, but merely to a pixelated representation of them. But the point is that this representation of them is so real that even though technically we couldn't actually see whoever we were talking to, it's really as if we could, because they're effectively right there. And in a sense, that's what Jesus did for God. He stands in front of us, and as we look at him, we're able not just to hear, but also to see what God is like in him. Jesus shines, and he speaks. He is the Word and the light of God. He is the light of the world. He brings life. He overcomes darkness, and he makes visible that which is, or perhaps rather was, invisible. And as we look forward to Christmas, we see that we can also look to that even more glorious day in about AD 30 when it was dark in Jerusalem. And just as God did in the beginning when his Word alone brought light into the universe, he again brought about the ultimate fulfillment of the light coming into the world by raising Jesus from the dead, so that this light may be with us forever. We can rejoice at Christmas and forevermore that Jesus truly is the light of the world. So we can know that however lifeless our lives may feel, however dark our situations may be, that Jesus can bring the invisible God to us. He can illuminate our situations so that we can truly see God at work in our lives. And we can ask him and be confident in him that he will bring light into our lives. And as we represent him in this world, that we too may bring the light of Christ into the world. And that's the message that we can remember this Christmas.